Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and our special guest this week is Dr. Fez Bura, Regional Chair, Surgery, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health Network, also President of the New York General Thoracic Surgical Club, regularly highlighted as a top doctor, including by America's Top Doctors, America's Top Surgeons for Cancer, and many more. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Joel. A real pleasure to be on with you this morning.
Yeah, an absolute pleasure to have you on with us. We're going to focus on lung cancer and related issues, and also how thoracic surgery can be beneficial when it comes to this type of cancer. So to begin this morning, thoracic surgery, or thoracic in general, I think we all have an idea, but the word thoracic, could you explain that very quickly?
Sure. It's also a hard word to pronounce sometimes, but in essence, thoracic surgeons are surgeons who operate on organs that lie between the neck and the abdomen or the belly. So the main organs that we operate on are the heart, the lungs, the esophagus, which is the food pipe, as well as lymph nodes and other structures that are in the chest around the heart. We also operate on the chest wall, so fractures of the ribs or injury to the chest wall would also be taken care of if surgical intervention was needed by thoracic surgeons.
So can you give me an example of the types of surgeries that you do?
So for most thoracic surgeons, the most common disease that we treat is lung cancer, for the simple reason that lung cancer, as many of your audience may know, is the most common lethal cancer in the United States and in the world. In fact, lung cancer kills more people than the next four most common cancers combined. So if you take all deaths from breast cancer, from colon cancer, from pancreatic cancer, from prostate cancer, put them into one bucket, and you have lung cancer in the other bucket. Lung cancer kills more people in the U.S. and worldwide. So a significant healthcare problem, and as I said, for most thoracic surgeons, lung cancer forms the bulk of our practice. The good news is that even in the last 3 to 5 years, we have made unbelievable advances in the treatment of lung cancer. And we are now almost at a stage where given lung cancer screening, where we diagnose lung cancer early, to be able to genetically sequence your individual cancer to find out what particular unique mutations your cancer may have, such that very targeted drugs could be given. And now with immunotherapy also being part of our treatment, we are very close now to making lung cancer a very treatable illness rather than a death sentence that it was even 5 or 10 years ago.
Wow. So you're saying the past 5 years, we've had major advances.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Even in the last 3 years, we are seeing tremendous advances in the management of lung cancer.
So the road that someone who may have lung cancer, the road that they take that gets them to you, how does that start? Are there symptoms that gets them to the doctor? What are some of the symptoms that would cause them to go to their general practitioner and then find out, oh, okay, we need to go talk to Dr. Bura?
So I think, Joel, this is perhaps the most important question that that I think we need to address and answer.
Okay.
And so it is critical to understand that if you start having symptoms from lung cancer, usually it may be a little too late to cure. So that, I think, needs to be put front and center, which is why if you are a high-risk individual, meaning you have smoked 20 packs a year in your life and or have a strong family history of lung cancer, you should be speaking to your primary care doctor about getting screened for lung cancer, which is a low-dose CAT scan done once a year. Mm-hmm. And the data has shown that if you screen for lung cancer, we will find if unfortunately you have a lung cancer, we are generally able to find it in the earliest stage, which is stage one, which is a curable time to identify lung cancer. So don't wait for symptoms is the message here. Talk to your doctor if you smoke about getting a lung cancer screening CAT scan to identify and find a potential cancer, and also get one then every year if you qualify for it. So it's a maintenance strategy. However, to your question, the symptoms that would point towards a lung cancer would be a cough that gets worse or changes in some way. Mm-hmm. If you start coughing up flecks of blood, if you lose weight, I think these are the three most common symptoms. However, again, I'll reiterate, mm-hmm. most people never have symptoms unless the cancer has spread outside of the lungs to other parts of their body.
So you said cough, blood, and the third was
weight loss.
Weight loss, right. So not being able to catch your breath, that type of thing would not be. I get, and as you say, it really, the symptoms are, it's too late, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it would be very unusual to have new respiratory symptoms, i.e. waiting until you can't catch your breath, mm-hmm. really is sort of almost end stage at that point in time.
Yeah,
so you don't want to wait for that.
Yeah, too far along. Now, just to clarify, you said 20 packs a year.
20 pack year total. So so one pack a day for 20 years. For
I instance. See, okay.
So one pack a day. One pack a day for 20 years, or say half a pack a day for 40 years would then qualify you.
Okay. Now, I'm glad you clarified. It sounded like, I must have misheard, it sounded like 20 packs within a year, which is barely a cigarette a day.
Which is barely a cigarette, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad we cleared that up. All right, so what are some of the advances that you mentioned? Like, where were we 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and where are we now?
So over the last few years, we've become really experts at the surgical treatment of lung cancer. So we now, for the most part, generally use a keyhole or very minimally invasive surgery, usually robotic surgery, whereby we would remove the cancer and part of the lung where the cancer is in a very minimally invasive fashion. The operation typically takes between an hour and a half to 2 hours for the most part. The largest incision is maybe about an inch and a half. So recovery is very fast. Most patients go home within 1 or 2 days after surgery. So that's a surgical advance where we really have got down the operation in a keyhole sort of approach, particularly using the robotic technique. Second, we have got very good with early diagnosis of a cancer. So now, if you have a CAT scan and we see a tiny lesion, even less than an inch, we are now able, using robotic bronchoscopy, which we have here, to make a quick diagnosis of what that suspicious nodule is and then act on it fairly quickly. Whereas in the past, we didn't have the ability really to make a diagnosis of these smaller nodules, and we would tend to follow them with CAT scans in 3 months or 6 months. So in some ways, perhaps even delaying treatment for a suspicious lung nodule. So that's number two. Mm-hmm. Number three really is, we're now looking at lung cancer as a condition that we're bringing personalized medicine to bear on. So we now treat your individual cancer rather than giving everyone the same chemotherapy drugs. Mm-hmm. Okay. That we did in the past, we now pretty much, as a first step, will take a little bit off your cancer from the biopsy and look at any genetic mutations that the cancer has, and based on that, develop a very targeted strategy to treat it either before surgery or after surgery using targeted therapy. And lastly, most recently, in addition to targeted therapy, we are now harnessing your own immune response to fight the cancer. So using immunotherapy and drugs called checkpoint inhibitors to turn your own white blood cells, the T cells, into cancer-fighting cells.
So what you're saying is that it used to be more of like a one-size-fits-all, and now you customize the treatment for each patient.
Absolutely. And obviously, the advantages are twofold. One, you get very customized targeted treatment. But two, the side effects from these treatments are significantly reduced. We're all about now curing your cancer, but also making sure that you maintain an excellent quality of life.
Yeah, that's good. I was actually going to ask you about the side effects, which I do. I want to find a little bit more about what the side effects are, what they were, and what they are now. Talking with Dr. Fez Bora, Regional Chair, Surgery, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health Network. So what were the side effects before, and how are they better now?
So with standard old-fashioned chemotherapy, as many of our listeners would know, you would see patients that looked very sick. Their skin would be gray and ashen. They would have lost most, if not all, their hair. They would lose a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be able to eat, nausea, vomiting, mouth sores, just a plethora of difficult side effects. And then also bone marrow suppression, where your white cell count would drop to next to nothing, making you very susceptible to infections. Also effects on the kidney and the liver and other organs that tend to process the chemotherapeutic drugs. So a significant number of side effects. Now, with targeted therapy, most, if not all, of these side effects are eliminated, if not significantly reduced.
Wow.
And we're really looking at things like skin itching or rashes as a major side effect. There's sometimes a little bit of nausea and vomiting, but the most life-disabling side effects, such as profound risk of infection, mm-hmm. significant weight loss, are significantly reduced, if not eliminated.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's only going to get better.
It's only going to get better. There are new drugs almost coming out every 3 to 6 months. So the field of lung cancer oncology has seen perhaps more innovation in the last 3 years than it had in 30 years prior.
Do you foresee a day when it's just, you know, that someone is diagnosed with cancer and then it's as simple as surgery and you're done? It's taken care of almost immediately, much the way, you know, something as simple as, fixing a broken arm or something like that.
I think we're actually there, Joel, for early stage lung cancer.
For early stage, yeah.
Which is why screening is so important. So if you smoke, please get your screening CAT scan, because in the vast majority of cases, we will find, if there is a cancer, we'll find it in stage one, where cure can be as high as 95%. So the vast majority of my patients that are identified in stage one, I actually joke with them. I see them every 6 months with a CAT scan, but I tell them after 5 years, you're supposed to bring me a cake now. So we now talk about 5-year and 10-year survivals, whereas in the past we were talking about months to years.
Right. So it's more likely for someone to survive 5 to 10 years then, obviously, than it was just a couple of short years ago.
Yes, for sure. And even now with more advanced stage two and higher, with the addition of targeted therapy and immunotherapy, we're actually seeing patients with stage four lung cancer who previously had a survival of typically less than 18 months, now in some rare cases actually living healthy, productive lives 5 years out with no evidence of disease. In fact, one of my aunts, who was a never smoker, by the way, and I think we should talk about this group of patients as well, because it's not just the smokers, who's a never smoker, was diagnosed with lung cancer, stage four, 3 years ago, just at the time where immunotherapy had come into play. She was put on a clinical trial, and now fast forward 3.5 years out, she is alive, well, working, with no evidence of disease left.
Now, did she live with a smoker? Were you able to determine where the lung cancer came from?
So that's the interesting part, that in about 30% of patients, usually women, there is no association to smoking, but those patients, their tumor is associated with a particular mutation that happens in their cells, and that's called an EGFR mutation. And we now have excellent drugs that target this particular mutation. Most of them are actually pills. So it's a very convenient and effective way of treating an EGFR positive lung cancer.
So in regards to the EGFR mutation, that is something that could just happen without the inhalation of anything?
That's right. 30% of lung cancers are unrelated to smoking and related to usually a mutation, which in layman's terms is an issue with the wiring of one of your cells, which then goes haywire, continues to multiply, and it doesn't die the way a normal cell would die as it ages, and then develops into a tumor.
So we determine that, you know, this mutation is one way. Of course, smoking is another. I don't think we need to tell anyone that smoking gives you lung cancer, or can. You have a much higher risk. What about vaping? The perception is that vaping is, it's the safe way to smoke.
Yeah, and so I think the issue with vaping is, I think, twofold. One, it may actually lead to smoking, but I think more importantly, the chemicals that are used for the additives and the flavoring in a vaping sort of setting can actually be more carcinogenic or cancer forming sometimes than actual filtered cigarettes. So there is no free lunch. I strongly advocate not vaping, particularly in the younger age group. And we've seen our teenagers and our younger kids taking to vaping with the belief that it's actually not smoking and that they're not harming their health. But in reality, that doesn't hold true.
It's just something that can't be detected by the odor isn't there, I guess you'd say. That's basically
correct.
The only difference, right?
Yep, pretty much. And in some cases, as I've said, it may even be more toxic than filtered cigarettes with the chemicals and the carcinogens that are introduced to bring about the flavor or the taste of particular vaped products.
All right, so vaping, smoking, family history is another reason to undergo these CT scans. Should anybody get them, or only those who are at high risk in those categories? If they don't smoke, they don't have, it's not, there's no family history, when should they get this scan?
Yeah, so therein lies sort of the million-dollar question. Mm. So far, our scientific guidelines point to the high-risk group as those who should be screened, i.e. those who are under 50 and have smoked 20 pack years or more, i.e. one pack a day for 20 years or some combination thereof leading to 20 pack years. Mm-hmm. I think in some cases with a very strong family history, a case can be made for screening as well. Patients, again, were exposed to asbestos and other known lung cancer forming agents, I think, should also be considered. At the moment, we don't have strong data to support that screening everyone is the right approach for a wide variety of reasons. But I think as we learn more about lung cancer and how to treat it, some of those guidelines may change, as they already have in the last few years.
But it's okay. I mean, if somebody wanted to get the scan, that would be okay, right? Even if they didn't have any of the risk factors, if they were just concerned, hey, I want to have the peace of mind, is that not recommended?
I think one has to be a little bit careful. I would say the best way to make that determination is to speak to your physician and determine if a CAT scan is the right approach for you. You don't want to be in a situation where you're sort of getting a test on yourself without consulting with your physician. So I would say discuss it with your physician and tease out the true risks and benefits and then make an informed decision.
That makes sense. That makes certain sense. So only a couple minutes left. It seems to have flown by. Dr. Fez Boer, Regional Chair, Surgery, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Is there an age where the cancer screening is no longer recommended? First question. And the second is, after, if someone does get the test and then a cancer is found and you perform the surgery, how long after the surgery are they up and running around?
So I'll answer the second question first. So it is critical to get your surgery done by a board-certified thoracic surgeon who specializes in the minimally invasive treatment of lung cancer. So not every thoracic surgeon is facile at the minimally invasive treatment of lung cancer. So you should do your homework. You should ask your primary care doctor, you should ask friends and colleagues, and you should do your own independent search to find the best surgeon. So that's important. In terms of recovery, I'll tell you that in our hands, and we just got 3 stars from SDS, which is the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, which is the highest possible quality rating that you can get for lung cancer surgery. I'd say most of our patients spend less than 48 hours in the hospital, and about a third of them actually go home within 24 hours. Most patients are up and in a chair the night of surgery. They have a drain that we typically take out the following morning, and then if their pain is well controlled, they're healing well and recovering, then they typically go home the next day after surgery, or in some cases, the day after.
Dr. Boer, thank you so much. Dr. Fez Boer, Regional Chair, Surgery, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Welcome to JFK, and thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Joel. Real pleasure, and look forward to chatting with you again.
And the feeling is mutual. Again, Dr. Fez Boer, Regional Chair, Surgery, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Also, the president of the New York General Thoracic Surgical Club, regularly highlighted as a top doctor by America's Top Doctors, America's Top Surgeons, America's Top Surgeons for Cancer, and many, many more. Dr. Fez Boer, again, thanks for being on the program. If you want more info, you can go to jfkmc.org, or you can call 732-635-9300. That's jfkmc.org or 732-635-9300. For a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. I'm Joel Katz, and JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. See you next week.